This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We're on 107.7 FM, WTPL, and we are also streaming live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com, and it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And we are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, and it's a gorgeous Thursday.
Another day.
I mean, beautiful. It has been so nice.
Three out of the last four have been fabulous. Yesterday was good because we got to stay home and let the Red Sox do our dirty work for us.
You know, that was kind of nice yesterday.
I
was getting over a little something I had for a few days, and but I feel I'm back to normal. I feel much better. So that's good.
Well, that's very good.
Yes.
We have an interesting variety of guests and topics today at 12:20 or so from the hit television show on Discovery. Deadliest Catch, Wild Bill will join us.
Fun.
You can't miss him. He's got the really beautiful shock of white hair and the beard. And
pretty handsome.
Yeah, I would say mm-hmm. so. Even as a guy, I don't mind saying, yeah, you know, I'm attracted to him.
Oh, boy. And I wouldn't go that far.
And quite the salty mouth,
yes.
which I know that you picked up on. So maybe you can ask him something about that. I'll let you ask the hard questions.
Oh, thanks.
We're going to chat with your dad. It's been a couple of weeks.
Yes, it has. Well, he's been under the weather as well. But he's doing better.
Actually, in all the times on here, I've not had the opportunity to be on with your dad. So looking forward to that. We're also going to talk about hot sauce.
Yes.
Later on today.
Mario.
A local producer. It's called Mano Fuel, which is very cool.
It is in my soup right now.
Oh, it is?
It is in my soup. Well, I added it.
Right.
Yes.
Give it. That's the kind of thing you can add to a lot of. It's like sriracha, you know. It really
exactly.
gives it a little extra dimension.
And, you know, I have to say, well, I don't have to say. I do say that Mano Fuel is better than sriracha.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hands down. Better than sriracha.
Well, I mean, they're two different products. Sriracha is more of a cream or almost like a mayo type of consistency.
Well, I think they're both close to the consistency,
yeah.
but...
Hmm.
I know what you mean a little bit about the sriracha. Yeah, yeah. But I like it better. I do like it better. We're actually replacing sriracha in the diners with Mano Fuel.
Are you?
We are.
Well, see that, and that's to the Red Arrow's credit that whenever it makes sense to go with a local provider, and the more of your food that is locally sourced, it's fresher. It helps the local economy.
That's
I mean,
right.
people know that, and I like to see that.
Yep, exactly. And then we're also going to have Doug on from Doug's Best Batch Salsa. Wait till you taste that salsa.
Oh, now
he's coming on with Mario.
Oh, yes. So the two of them are coming on together.
They're friends.
Nice.
They're very good friends, and they actually have they're going to talk to us about that. But I'm pretty sure that they're in the process right now of building a kitchen for the two of them to you know make their products, and they're going to be in Made in New Hampshire this weekend. So
very
we can
good.
Chat with them and find out a little bit more about
that.
Hey,
Made in New Hampshire starts tomorrow, and it's one of the best events all year long. It outgrew the Armory where it was for a lot of years, and they moved it downtown to the center of New Hampshire, Radisson. And I believe Red Arrow will be there.
We are. That's what I was doing. Well, this morning I had to go and film Chef's Plate show in Londonderry this morning, and then ran back over here and was getting things ready because right after the show today we have to go. We're going to go set up our booth.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So
I think you told me already, but I've forgotten what you'll be serving at Made in New Hampshire.
We are serving two different kinds of our homemade mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it's buffalo chicken mac and cheese and our regular one because some of the kids don't, you know. Some people just like plain mac and cheese. And then we're doing our famous chili. And then we're going to do our famous Dinah Fingers.
Excellent.
Yeah. And our Blondie Brownies. Those are really, really good.
So you're bringing along a lot. How do you ever estimate how much food to bring for something like this?
You know, the beauty of it is that the diner is open 24/7. And there's always a prep cook on 24 hours. And, you know, my director of operations is very good with that. And, we know how many people attend this. And, you know, we've done these events before. I've never done Made in New Hampshire, though. This is our first time doing Made in New Hampshire. But, you know, we've done events like this before. And, you know, when we start running out, I just call the diner and say, you know, whips them up. Or I mean, yeah. I'm sure they're making ahead, of course, because, you know, I'm sure we'll be pretty busy. But
oh, you will be. Trust me. It's a crush of people in that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, not for the whole time, but midday Saturday. Probably tonight will be very, very busy.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. Tomorrow's Friday, the opening day.
Right.
In the evening, it'll be really busy. Saturday, most of the day will be very busy.
Yeah.
Sunday, early on, I don't think it stays as busy
long. That's what I'm thinking.
But you know what? The weather has something to do with it. What else is going on?
Exactly.
Highly recommend attending Made in New Hampshire, Try It and Buy It Expo.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
At the Radisson.
Yes.
Yeah. So today's food holiday.
Oh, okay.
This is so funny because we showcased this morning on Chef's Plate on the TV show. It's National Eggs Benedict Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like Eggs Benedict. Don't have it very often.
I know. I don't either because it's fattening.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you see the hollandaise.
Yes.
Yikes.
Now, back up on this TV show now. Is this recorded for later broadcast?
Yes, it's recorded for a later broadcast.
And this is on probably community access.
WBIN.
Oh, it's on Benny TV.
It is. Yes. And it's called The Chef's Plate. It airs on Saturdays at 3.
Oh, that's with Helen Reiber, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good.
Yep. And I was with Helen this morning, and we showcased our Caprese Eggs Benny this morning.
Oh.
Yeah.
Speaking of Caprese, I'm probably going to make that pizza with the cauliflower.
I made it.
Oh, you did?
I made it. Oh, my gosh, Mike, I forgot to tell you, because that wasn't yesterday. It was the day before.
Right.
I did it that night.
So instead of a regular traditional bread crust, you made it with cauliflower.
And it was so easy. Really, really easy. I cooked my cauliflower on the stove, you know, a little bit of water and cover and all that stuff. Make sure it's nice and soft. Mm-hmm. And then drain it out really good. And the next time I do it, I'm going to make sure you drain it and take some paper towels, probably. This is what I didn't do.
Yes.
And really get that moisture out.
Yes.
I think I had probably a little bit too much moisture in it. So get all the moisture out, put the cauliflower in a bowl. And I have like one of those masher things.
Yes.
And I mashed it all up and it was really easy. Yeah. I mean, it mashed right up. And then you add
some cheese, I believe.
Yeah, you add a half cup and I use the reduced fat, shredded cheese, put that in and pinch of cayenne, salt, pepper. You know, I probably put a little more pinches of cayenne because we like that. But and then mine wasn't dough mixed, feeling because I didn't take out all the water. So, but it's still, and you take it and I just spread it right in my pan, in a cookie sheet pan. I kind of made it somewhat round or, whatever, and put my tomato sauce on and did my toppings. And it was really good. It was delicious.
Well, that's the game plan for tonight. Now, I did a little more research on it because I'm really intrigued, and I'm glad that you tried it. I found the Paula Deen version of it.
Really?
I mean, there's lots of versions on almost any recipe. And usually the most helpful part of these recipes is what the people make as comments on what they found to help tweak the recipe.
Exactly. So what does she say?
All right, so here's – and this I kind of thought would be the case. Was your crust a little softer around the middle and more
– Yes.
Here's the deal with that. I'm going to do it completely different than how you did it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to put it on parchment paper, then on a paddle. I'm going to make it as round as I can. And then I'm going to cook it on my pizza stone in the oven for maybe a half hour. They say 40 minutes. I think that might be a little bit long. A half hour. Then I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to dress it and put it in for the last 10 minutes to let the cheese and everything else melt. And then it should be crispy all the way around. So I'll let you know how that worked out.
And see, and that's why I thought maybe I had too much moisture, because it was. It was real soft in the middle.
Yeah,
but that makes sense.
And it wasn't so much because of the moisture, although that might have been part of it. It's just that it takes a lot longer to get crispy.
Now, what do you have your oven set at?
Typically, when I make pizza, I make it at, I heat it up at 500 for an hour, and then I back it off to 450. So I'll probably do about 450 or so.
See, I did 450, and it started burning around the edges.
Yeah,
so.
Right. So at that,
maybe 400.
It's thinner around the edges like a cookie, anything else. So I may do it at 400, but I also use the paper a lot for
That's
stuff
a good
like that.
Because
it's easier to get it in the oven with the peel, and then after just a couple minutes, you can just yank the paper out, and then after that, you're good with the – I have a wooden pizza peel. So I will let you know how that works out.
I'm
I've got the cherry grape tomatoes and just basic mozzarella and some sauce.
Those are my favorite grape tomatoes.
Yeah.
I love those.
Cut them in half. And
Those are so
All
good.
Right. Well, we're on to something very exciting here, Carol.
It's very good.
Now, I have to ask you, I'm sure the answer is yes. You You filed your income taxes by yesterday, right?
Of course. I don't do that, but my account controller
does. Yes, right. Well, that I figured that would be the case. Well, it's interesting that, and we weren't here yesterday, so I couldn't really share this. There are a number of restaurants around the country that will give you free food on tax day.
And really? I never heard of that.
I was kind of thinking that might be something for the Red Arrow to consider next year, and I'll tell you what my plan is for that.
Okay.
Let me tell you what some of the places around the country have done. For instance, if you live in Pennsylvania, if you bring in a Taco Bell receipt to McDonald's, you'll get a free Egg McMuffin through tomorrow at participating stores. So you, if you've been eating at Taco Bell, you just go and you get a free Egg McMuffin in the morning at McDonald's.
That is really cool.
Isn't that wild?
It is. I kind of like that.
Oh, there's more. Maybe you'll get some ideas here. Here's another one. Purchase a 32-ounce drink and a bag of chips at Schlotzky's nationwide. And I don't think we have any of those here.
I don't think so.
Schlotzky's. And get a free small, the original sandwich. The original features ham, salami, cheddar, mozzarella, and Parmesan cheese. Topped with olives, blah, 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 blah. So you buy a 32-ounce drink and a bag of chips, and you get the sandwich for free. That's not a huge deal, but here's another one. This was actually local. Take a date. Now, this was yesterday, so you know, don't do this today. Take a date to Boston Market, and one of you will eat free. Customers who buy one individual meal will get a second one for free, including the new slow-braised pulled pork and rotisserie chicken platters.
Wow.
Another one. Ever been to a Hard Rock Cafe?
Oh, yeah.
Get dinner for a song at select Hard Rock Cafe locations from 5 to 7 yesterday. Customers brave enough to take the stage and belt out a tune for karaoke would get a local legendary burger for free on
that
tax day.
That is cool.
Nice, huh? Kona Ice, you've heard of them.
Yeah.
Kona Ice will hand out free ice cups of tropical shaved ice at select post offices and tax centers around the country. Nice, huh?
That is pretty cool.
So here's what I'm thinking for you or somebody who wants to do this next year for tax day. Bring in your tax return where it shows that you had to pay, and you get a free or something or whatever. You know, if you had to pay, then we're going to buy you dinner or
I
lunch
love it.
Or something.
I think it's a great
idea. And, you know, stuff like that gets publicity.
Yeah, it definitely does. It definitely does, because I don't think anybody around here does that.
Not that I heard. Not that I heard.
We just talked about it live on the air. Thanks. Now everybody's going to do it next year.
Nah. Well, I'll patent the whole idea before we leave today.
There you go.
And it's yours.
It's a really kind of cool idea. You know what I was thinking as you were about it? I was thinking, well, if a customer comes in and de-virginizes another customer. Then,
excuse me?
Well, you know how we de-virginize customers. You don't know that?
No.
Come on, Mike. You've been to the Red Arrow, haven't
I
you?
I have.
You have been to the Red Arrow?
I've not been to Milford, but I've been obviously to Londonderry and certainly the one on Lowell Street.
Well, the first time you were there, they didn't do anything to you?
No, well, I think I was with a group of people.
They were supposed to.
Really? Do they ask everybody if it's your first time?
They are supposed to ask everybody if it's your first time.
Okay, so what should have happened?
And we say it on the menu, too, that if it's
really?
Your first time visit, tell your server.
Oh, my.
You never heard them when you're in there ringing the bell?
Yeah.
That's what they do. They ring the bell and they yell, attention, attention, Mike. At table two is from, they're usually from like London or San Francisco. And when you're from local,
yeah.
You get really roasted. Like if they say you're from Manchester,
really?
New Hampshire, then you really, and everybody in the diner knows this and everybody claps. So people bring people in just to get them de-virginized.
Oh,
it's called
I love
de-virginized.
That.
Have you
How long
de-virginized?
Have you been doing that?
We've been doing that for years. I was there
in
one
2005.
Day. Oh, see?
Happened to J-Dog in 2005?
Yep,
really?
It sure did.
And he's still traumatized. Just look, I can tell.
But wait, I have to tell you this story because this is so funny. One day, there was three little old ladies there, three ladies, and one of the ladies pulls me aside and she says, I'm here to de-virginize my sister. I'm like, okay. I said, great. And then she says, I need to tell you, she's also a nun.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's so wrong.
Honey, it was so funny when they did it. Elaine did it, I think, or something.
Uh-huh.
And you should have seen the nun. It was hilarious. I mean, it was just...
And everybody gets rowdy and priceless. Hilarious. And
everybody gets rowdy, and then you get a sticker that says, I've been de-virginized from the Red Arrow Diner.
Oh, my.
Yes, it's a big to-do. And then you sign our guest book.
Well, can I get a... I make good on that. So
I cannot believe that hasn't happened to you, J-Dog. That needs to happen next time he goes in. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
So did you get roused upon and did you feel really good after the event at J-Dog?
I was fine. It was all good fun. I was with my friends too, so I wasn't alone. So.
Okay. Yeah, I think I went in for breakfast with some people from the radio station. We just kind of slid in and got the order and ate and had a great time. But nobody gave me a sticker or a de-virginizing move.
I don't know. They should have. I'm going to have to
not feeling the love today.
Mention that.
So there you go. Next year, that's your tax promotion, Carol.
I love it. I just love it. So do you see what I'm saying? A customer can come in. They need to de-virginize some, because there's always a virgin in there. Always, always. And they de-virginize a customer and they get it for free.
Nice.
Kind of funny.
What do you get? You'll get something for free too?
Yeah, I'll give them their meal for free if they de-virginize another customer.
I see.
Right?
Okay.
People come in, and when the customer's there, they always want to do that with the other customers. They're like, can I do that? It's like hilarious.
Man, I'm
but
I'm
anyway.
Okay. Hey, you know who's waiting by?
I know.
Is Wild waiting. Bill.
Yes. So we are going to go on a short break, and Food for Thought will be right back with Wild Bill.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Yes, live and local right here from the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester on Elm Street. It's Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, and brought to you by Belmont Hall and Restaurant on Grove Street in Manchester. Top quality foods made fresh for over 50 years. And Red Arrow Diner, Manchester, Milford, and now open with a drive-thru in Londonderry, redarrowdiner.com. No diners in the Bering Straits. I bet they'd like to sit down sometime to a good Red Arrow dinner. I'm talking about the guys who fish the, there's two kinds of crabs. There's the king crab and the Ophelia crabs, and they have two different seasons about a month or so apart, which is interesting. And you learn those things if you're a fan of Deadliest Catch, as Carol is, as I am, and certainly one of the most charismatic, if not the most charismatic character and fisher person on the show is Captain Wild Bill Wacrowski, who is originally from Pennsylvania, now lives in his off-season somewhere in Central America where it's a lot warmer. Season 11 just got underway on Discovery Channel every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. And Wild Bill, thanks for joining us. I heard you say that when you started in 1979, you made like $78,000 in 10 days. Can a crabber still bring in that kind of money?
You know, the government has gotten involved. The cost of fuel is higher. The cost of bait is higher. Insurance is higher. Everything is up except the cost of the price of the crab isn't up proportionally. It's very hard to pull those kind of numbers in that short of a time right now. We're on a different pay scale. We still make a decent wage, but it's nothing like it was in the 70s and 80s.
So the degree of danger is just as high, but the payoff is not as high.
That's exactly right. We still do the same job for less money. But, you know, if you look at it, what would the transition be? I mean, I've done this for 37 years. There's not really like a crossover job that I could step into. So we continue to do it and that's kind of how we make our money.
All right, so season 11, barely underway, and you are the victim of a prank in the first episode.
That's what I hear. I can't do a whole lot of dropping on this, but they did pull a pretty good prank on me, and it airs tonight for the opener, and it's kind of cool to be. I've never been really one of the guys that's involved with a bunch of pranks, because I've always had a smaller crew and a lot of quota to catch, and I haven't really. Like the Hillstrands, you know, they goof off all the time because they got nothing else to do.
Hi, Wild Bill. This is Carol of the Carol and Mike. And, you know, I was counting the beeps, and I think you swear more than anyone on Deadliest Catch.
Oh, that's not really true. Have you heard me cuss today?
Not yet.
They bunch it all together. They just beep when I'm saying regular words. I had one elderly lady in an airport one time tell me that she was really concerned because she knew a lot about boats, and she figured that I had problems with my boat because the alarms were going off all the time.
Oh, my gosh. You know, as a captain, you're many people, from a doctor to a comedian. What are the roles are you called upon to play to be an effective leader?
Oh, you're a psychiatrist, psychologist, you're a doctor, you're an attorney for these guys half the time. It's you wear a lot of hats. I mean, to do this job successfully, is you have to be really versatile and, I mean, I've represented guys over conference calls with magistrates and gotten them out of issues where the magistrate was like, well, who are you again? I said, well, I'm the boat captain. She said, oh, you're not an attorney? And I said, no. And I said, I've been in front of a few judges in the past myself, so that's why I know what to say. But We cover a lot of, we wear a lot of hats.
Well, there's your transition job that you said didn't exist from being a grabber. So, Wild Bill, you take on crew members that don't fit in elsewhere. Are you seeing a bit of yourself in some of these guys?
Well, you know, I got Nick. He's got a few demons. He's probably one of the best deckhands in the Bering Sea, but he has that alcohol demon that gets a hold of him. And, you know, I was not real easy to control in the early days, but I did my job really well. So people put their faith in me, and that's kind of what I do for guys that I see along the way.
Kind of along those lines. By the way, we're talking to Captain Wild Bill. He is the boat captain of Cape Caution, Deadliest Catch Season 11 on Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock Discovery. All right, so there's a lot of hell raising in you. That's pretty well documented. Did you really climb from one moving car to another on a freeway as a much younger man?
Oh, my.
Yeah, it was probably somewhere between 65 and 70 miles an hour. You know, it could be, maybe it should be Stupid Bill, not Wild Bill. But, yeah, I've done some crazy stuff. You know, I've scaled the outside of a condominium complex in February because my poker game was weak, and I climbed a fence and dove through the ice in a swimming pool, swam the length of the pool, then broke through the ice on the other end and climbed back up the outside of the building. I mean, it was kind of Stupid Bill instead of Wild Bill, but yeah, I did it.
But look at all the great stories you have to tell now.
Yeah, I guess. I heard your most frightening moments came on not fishing, but doing a boat transit to Seattle.
Yeah, we had an occasion where we were bringing a boat down in hurricane force winds, and we got laid over. We broached. It was probably, I don't know, 55, 60-foot seas, and we laid over to where we were on our side for two consecutive waves, which typically, you know, you lay over once, fine, but when you don't come back up and you get hit with another one, that's when you start wondering if you're actually going to right yourself again. And it's pretty strange when the lights start going off and the alarms are coming on and you're walking on the wall. You're not walking on the floor.
Ooh,
trying to
scary.
Get things squared away. But it was almost one of those moments where you bent over and kissed it, you know?
So I'm going to take you back to your first season. Producers focused on your temper, which I really didn't really please you. And then I heard you had a hand in selective editing the following season, which cost you some screen time. So are you happy with what you see of yourself now?
Well, it's been a transition. You know, you do a little bit of self-editing. We do, you know, we used to do the show After the Catch, which is now kind of morphed into the bait. And a good example of that is the first one that I did, we were in New Orleans. We were there for about 8 days, and I think I saw the sun come up 6 days, and we would go right from that into filming. And the second season, we were in Hawaii filming it, and Mike Rowe, the narrator, looked at me one day, and he says, you know, you've sure changed a lot, because, you know, when you were in New Orleans, we never knew what to expect out of you. What happened? And I said, well, I watched the show. I mean, we were all train wrecks from being up all night, and then you get on TV, it didn't present itself that well. So self-editing can be good, and I've kind of gotten to the point where, you know, I'm a lot more open to the camera. And I mean, if it doesn't happen on our boat, I don't do it. I won't jump through any hoops. I won't do anything that's not 100% me. But yeah, we're as honest as it gets.
Well, you know, when you're out in public, you really can't miss you. You can't hide. You've got that wonderful shock of hair, that almost Michael McDonald look. So when's the last time somebody handed you a crab leg at a restaurant with a Sharpie and asked you to autograph it?
I've autographed some strange things, as you might imagine, but it hasn't been a crab leg. I mean,
oh, my gosh.
I actually order crab when we go out. I mean, I'm not opposed. I support the industry, and I love to eat it. So it was kind of funny. I was in Florida for a NASCAR event last year, and we went to a restaurant, and I ordered snow crab, and the chef came out, and he asked me if I was being funny. I said, no, I want to see what you got. And it was actually done really nice. They, you know, the crab had been stored properly and prepared properly. So it was nice to see that they're presenting the product in a proper way.
That's really good. Now, you left crabbing in 2005 to run sports fishing tours. Then you returned to Alaska when the economy caused that to dip. Now, will you return to warm Central American waters for good the next time you leave?
I'm looking out my window today. I'm in Sonora, Mexico. I'm off to Florida next week to do a show with Roland and Scott Martin called Saltwater Challenge. I'm going to fish against one of the guys from Duck Dynasty. We're going to have a little tarpon shoot up. When I'm not fishing in Alaska, I'm usually fishing.
There you go.
I love Duck Dynasty. Do you get a chance to catch that show?
No, I don't watch it.
Oh, okay.
I watch Deadliest Catch. I watch all Discovery programs. In fact, my TV only has Discovery on it. I can't even change the channel.
Of course it does. But I do happen to know for a fact kidding. That, Wild Bill, you are spotted near your hometown area of Pittsburgh every so often. So what would you rather sit down to, a plate of king crab with a Midnight Sun Berserker or Pennsylvania pierogies and an Iron City brew?
That's hilarious. That's good research. You know, I get pierogies so infrequently, I'd have to go with a pierogi.
Ooh.
That good Polish comfort food. I'm from Detroit, so our diet there was not all that different from where you were, and I do miss it being out east. Don't see a whole lot of it.
Yeah, I'll be back there this summer. I've got a couple events that we're doing. I'm doing a fundraiser in Pittsburgh. We're raising medical supplies for disasters, and I do a lot of fundraisers. I do Wounded Warrior, breast cancer, spinal injury, take a kid fishing. I'm busy.
Well, it's nice when you have these nice things and you step up to the plate and give back. I think people appreciate that, Bill.
Definitely.
Well, I hope so. I think I do as much or more than anybody on the show, and it's I'm just trying to fix the karma from when I was younger. You know, I figured I better get some of this squared away, or I could be staring at the wrong ending.
Our guest, Captain Wild Bill. He's the captain of Cape Caution, Deadliest Catch, in Season 11 right now, 9 o'clock on Tuesday evenings. What fun talking to you, Bill. Thank you for your time this morning.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks. And tune in tonight. It should be a great show.
I can't wait.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was awesome. He is such a great guy.
As most, you know, I've interviewed some of the other Deadliest Catch guys, and now you're starting to see Sig, I think is his name. He was on the Donald Trump show, Apprentice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, they've been absorbed into the mainstream of TV,
yeah.
Reality shows, and a couple other ones have, you see them around as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's true.
They're well-spoken, and why not take advantage of all that exposure, huh?
It's awesome.
Cool.
He's very cool. You are listening to Food for Thought. We're on 107.7 FM. We are going to go on a short break, and we'll be right back.
Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is Food for Thought on The Pulse, 107.7 WTPL, home of the Boston Red Sox. And sponsors include Puerto Vallarta on 2nd Street in Manchester. It's the real deal, and I will get there soon. Also, Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of The Green Room. Yes, they still have green rooms in radio, at least we do. You'll be hard-pressed to find one nicer. So thanks to Fallon's Furniture for that. Also, the official coffee of Food for Thought is New England Coffee, newenglandcoffee.com. So there you go. And let me just say, I'm somewhat impressed and surprised. 2 days ago, we had Michelle Holbrook in here for Michelle's Totally Awesome Gourmet Popcorn.
Yummy.
She brought bags of popcorn. I took one home, and there are three more still on the desk here, two of which have not been touched.
I know. And you know, the one that was touched was one that I opened.
That's right.
And you know what? It was our bad because we didn't tell Ken to help himself. And you know, if we didn't say that to Ken, because I was thinking of that when we walked
yes.
in. When I walked in today, I'm like, I forgot to tell him, help yourself to popcorn. And that would be just like Ken not to touch it.
Yeah, Ken
you
is
know what I mean?
Such a gentleman and
yes.
so respectful of things.
So
and
I feel bad.
That's what makes him the odd duck in radio, because typically if you put food in front of radio people, as the expression goes, if it's free, it's for me. And plus, there were hockey players in here, too.
I know. I feel bad that we didn't tell Ken that.
So. And the librarian, too. I kind of thought she would dig into the Buffalo Supreme.
The librarian.
Interesting combination of people that Ken Kale
yes.
and company brings to the table every afternoon.
He does.
That's what makes it for such fun listening.
You know, you were just talking about the green room and how
yeah.
beautiful it is.
Yeah.
And it now is official, listeners, because Mike's picture is in the green room. It just needs to be hung on the wall. Daryl will be around all weekend because we'll be at the Radisson, so I may send him over.
Oh, is that right?
Have him do some hanging.
Go hang up the picture of my radio husband.
That's right.
Up on the wall. Oh, my. Well, I was thinking that I was going to, since we have a couple minutes here, share a big upgrade on making baked chicken. And this is what I'm going to call a Mike's improvement meal, told in 60 seconds or less, or a minute or less. I have to come up with something that's not quite as klutzy. But here is the deal. Have you ever cooked a, you know, like a roaster, a oven stuff a roaster in a bundt pan?
No.
It seems kind of
How
weird.
How do you do that? You flip it over?
No. It's kind of along the lines of beer can chicken. Have you ever heard of that or done that before?
I haven't done it, but I've heard of it.
All right, so this is kind of the idea. So here's what you do. You get your chicken, probably 4, 5, 6 pounds, and you're gonna just put a little oil, and you're going to salt and pepper it, plus the cavity, okay, which you would normally do.
Right.
All right, so far, nothing's changed. All right, so you get your bundt cake form, and you turn it, you know, upside down so that the center of the pole is facing up. Before you put the chicken in there, you cut up some onions, you cut up some lemons, you throw some fresh herbs in there, you know, a couple inch layer of that. Then you take a piece of aluminum foil and you kind of cover that, the hole, you know, the middle of the bundt cake.
Okay.
Then you take the chicken and you sit it, you know, through the open cavity on that little rising middle section, and you cook it at 425 degrees for about an hour, and the skin browns all the way around because nothing is sitting in grease
right. And
nothing is face down. You get equal browning and extra crispy skin.
Oh, my gosh. I got to try that. That is like a really cool. Where did you get that idea? Have you done that?
I have not done that. I saw a little video of it online today, and I thought, I'm so all over that because I've actually done a version of that in my Big Green Egg smoker with indelicately beer butt chicken, but actually beer can chicken. And you basically do that in a roasting pan, and you put the beer up there, and it evaporates and gives it a whole different flavor. So there it is. It's the bundt cake chicken recipe, and you learned about it in 60 seconds.
That is so cool. I think that is like a great, great recipe. And well, next we have my dad calling in. So hi, Dad. How's it going?
Hey, how are you doing? Pretty nice day, isn't it?
It is a gorgeous day.
How are you, George? Oh, it's
good,
so good.
Good. I'm good, except I get setbacks every once in a while.
You get what?
In front of the stove. I get a set. I call it a setback. I was standing in front of the oven yesterday. Just turned around quickly and back and grab a pot holder. Whammo into my back, down my legs. Like affects the muscle.
Oh, my. So it was a kitchen injury. I hope you have workman's comp here at the Red Arrow.
Yeah, I know. I filed a report right away. No, this is in my house.
Yeah? Oh, it's in your house?
Yeah, in my home. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because, always remember, you get hurt, you file a report.
Well, you've worked in the food business, I assume, your whole life. So, you know, it sure can be a dangerous place, right?
Oh, yeah, it can. But especially after back surgery. He said, I called this morning, boss, and he said, yeah. Call me a couple of days, it'll be gone. But he says, you just like, you pulled the muscle. He says, you know, your muscle isn't strong enough yet. I can't get over how long it takes. But anyway, that's that. You can't believe what I was doing, though. I was making, I shouldn't have, maybe too soon. I was making stuffed cabbage.
You're making what?
I was making stuffed cabbage.
Oh, stuffed cabbage.
Stole my stuffed cabbage recipe.
Well, I heard that Carol tried some, or that you guys made some like a week ago, and you weren't that thrilled with it. Did you improve it somehow?
I know. Well, no, this here, that day, I'm the one. I went over there, and I didn't really feel in a button, so they all made their own little version. So. The way I've been doing it, I do it at Delmont Hall, you know, after 35 years of just doing stuffed cabbage. Mine's a little different, and I believe it's pretty good. But, let's see how it comes out here. It starts with going to the store and get yourself the biggest cabbage you can get. The bigger the better, because the leaves are bigger. And you take that home and you get yourself I use a pound and a half, which is 3/4 and 3/4 of pork and hamburger. And then you just hold that. The first thing you do when you do stuffed cabbage is you get home and put the pot on the stove. And I know everybody's seen a head cabbage before, but you know the end where the core is. You take a knife, like a butcher's knife, not too long, but a paring isn't long enough, and you follow the edge of the core where the leaf gets kind of thick on that core end, and just cut straight down. You go back and forth on the knife, and I think there's four of them. You just cut the knife, and that's going to free it from the stem. And then on the boiling water, I always put a teaspoon of salt. I like things to flavor. It's just to be flavor, and it's a big pot because they float, so they take a lot of room. And you put it in there, and you just put it on a slow boil, a little bit better than a simmer. So when that's happening and it gets going, you just, it must take 5-10 minutes to the first leaf. You take a good fork, a big fork, you won't get her burned, and you just go into it and you lift the leaves right off, and you get them on a nice tray. I put them on a tray, and that's all you can do. You can take maybe 2 off, 3 off, and just wait. So while you're waiting, I have a little Dutch oven pan with a cover on. You don't need a cover. I just use aluminum, thick aluminum, and I put about 1/2 to 3/4 cup of white rice. Not, you know, just converted rice, not quick rice, just regular rice. And then in that you put water about equal, you know, because it's spread out quite a big in the pan. You're going to put about 1 inch covering the rice that's in there. Now, it's not much rice, 3/4 cup, so almost 1 inch. And I always put a teaspoon of chicken base, or if you have some chicken stock around, use the chicken stock. Going to infuse that flavor right into that white rice.
Just put that like in the bottom of your pan, you mean, right?
Yeah, in the bottom of the pan while it's cooked.
Yeah, we have about a minute, so.
Oh, my God. You're kidding. All right. Oh, I ain't got too much time. All right, now we're going in. All right, so that's rice is cooking, and that's going to take about 20 minutes. And I reserve that, take it out. And in the same pan, put your meat, the hamburgers, the pork, the salt. It needs almost 1 teaspoon of salt. What else is there? 1/2 teaspoon of garlic and 1 whole teaspoon of granulated onion. Stir that in, and now add the rice to it. Now, you're not cooking that meat. The pot is still hot.
So right, it's all raw.
Got a little color. A little color. Stir, 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 and add. I use that 1/2 can, almost a full can of that small can of tomato paste. It makes such a nice mixture. I always put a little bit of, put a little bit of greens in there, like parsley, like, and that's, he knows how you're mixing it. And that's done.
And that's it. And then you wrap it in the cabbage, right?
Then you wrap it in the cabbage.
Wrap it in the cabbage.
Tuck the ends in.
Yep.
And, put it in the oven for 350 for 3.5 hours. And I put a whole can, 16 ounces of tomato sauce.
And we got, and that's a wrap because the segment is up. Next time, I promise, we'll give you a little bit more, George. Take care of your back.
No? Okay. Got it. Bye.